when a loved one goes to a higher level.
Spiritual.
Hello, and thanks for joining me. My name is Brian Keary. Let's just listen to the words of Zareth, a spirit teacher who gave us spiritual lessons through a medium. I have found them to be so inspirational in my life that I thought that as we walk, I would pass this wisdom to you and allow his words to help you in your daily life also. I know that religion is a personal choice for people, and I give these lessons through the religion of spiritualism. If you wish to contact me for any constructive reasons, then email me at perhapsme@hotmail.com. The full text of these lessons can be found at www.spirit-info.tripod.com/Zareth Teachings/. Love, light and learning, my friends. God bless. Here we begin with a couple. Now these two people were on Earth about 5 years ago. That is very close. They lived in Italy. Now, as you're aware, we can speak to anyone of any language by the mind, by thought processes, by simply thinking. And we see each other's thoughts upon the brain. Now these people lived in the city. The husband was an official and he had great power. Of course, this brings a very busy social life and a very tiring life also. It means that the two of them seldom met except at meal times, at breakfast or at dinner, etc. This also meant that the lady was left to her own devices and he was very busy. As you're aware, this kind of life is not easy for a couple. It can lead to difficulties on either side. Usually the woman partner will be taken up by work, sometimes to aid her fellow man or in the social round only. This lady was taken up partly with both. She had some instincts of helpfulness in her nature, but also because of her position, she was expected to have a very social existence. Now, he was a different type. His life took him into many lands. He had to deal on the political side, and because of this, he had to be very diplomatic. He had a very keen brain, but he was able to sidestep. Very able. This shows you what they were. When they were in their late 50s, they were travelling and had an accident and both were killed. This was so sudden that it gave them quite a shock to realise that actually they were not in their bodies. Because it was so sudden, they left their bodies so sharply, and that gives a shock to the soul, or the spirit, if you like. Thus, they were able to see their bodies lying there. There were their bodies lying, and they could not understand. They wandered around, but not leaving the place where the accident occurred, clinging to something familiar, even though it was a wreck, I mean their car. This would be a natural order of things, don't you think? If you knew your car, at least it is something of your own vibration, your own. Even if your bodies were lying there, at least it would be something you knew, if you were in the unknown. Because around what them was the earth condition, which was very grey and misty. When we come to earth, to us this world is foggy. We see your spirit more clearly than we see your physical. So they were in this foggy, misty atmosphere, and they were full of fear. And there came to them a familiar body in the shape of the grandmother to the lady. She ran to her, and she hugged her and hugged her. "Where did you come from? You're long dead." She was so glad to see her that for the moment she forgot she was dead, until she suddenly realised it again. Then some slight horror gripped her. "But you are dead," she said. The grandmother said, "No, I am not dead. You see me here before you. I am as real as you are. Look at yourself. I am real. You are real. You look as you did. But why are you afraid of me?" So the lady realised it so, but she said, "How can this be?" Then came forth another figure. This time it was someone whom the gentleman knew. The same consternation. But standing behind all of them was the guardian of the lady, and he had brought the spirits. He did not appear because they would have been afraid of him, but he brought familiar faces to comfort them. This is how we work if we can. It is not always so simple, but on this occasion it was. So they say, and there was some measure of comfort for them both. After many questions, why are you here? Why are you alive? Why can we not come here? Have you been? After answering all these questions, they said, come with us. They took each other by the arm and they went away. They came to a place that looked very much like the earth, on a day that was not bright sun, but a mossy kind of sun. There they were. Then the guardian stepped forward and said, I am he who guarded thee in thy lifetime. But you knew that, not that I was present, but I have been with thee all for your days. He gave some proof, and she understood. He told her of her lifetime, explained some of the days when she was very young, and right on through, to show her that he had been really with her, showed her views that only she knew. In this way he was able to make her understand. Then he said to them both, come with me. You can return to your loved ones presently. He took them to a place that was very quiet, a field surrounded by trees, but buildings to be seen in the distance, so they would not feel too far away from people. Then he began to explain to them what life was like for most people. He said, I will leave you for a few seconds, but I will just be a little way off. You will see in your minds your lives as you have lived them. You will understand. You know these things, but I am explaining it to it as they occurred. They saw their lives unroll so swiftly, but so clearly, and they both wept, as most people do. Because though every soul has kindnesses and does good acts within their lives, when one passes over, one is inclined to look at the dull side and dwell upon it. This is the way of mankind. When it was over, the guardian was joined by the guardian of the man. He introduced himself. By this time the man understood, at least somewhat. Then they took them back to their friends and relatives and loved ones, who had been by them and increasing in number. As you know, most Italian families have large numbers of members, and some more had gathered. So there was by this time a family feeling. He said, we will leave you all, but you will be well. We knew that all would be well, and with their family they would soon comprehend at least the beginnings of knowledge. The man realized that he was not being pulled in the same direction as his wife was. She felt herself being pulled in another direction from him. She gravitated to others of the family who were going in her direction, and he seemed to be moving off alone, so to speak. He did not understand this, but he seemed to be pulled, not as if his body was being pulled, but he could not understand the tug at his being. He said to those around him, "Why do I feel like this?" They understood and were full of pity for him. One of the family said, I will accompany you. Then another said, so will I. They let him follow his instincts that were within him now, to go in another direction. By this time you're beginning to understand that he was not in exactly the same area as his wife, but somewhat lower. There was light, but it was a little more fuzzy. He cried out, why is this? He was told, you have seen your life before you, and you do understand. Please think clearly. But he was too full of emotion, too full of tears to be able to accomplish this at the moment. But his friend stayed with him till he could compose himself. And his wife said, why is it like this that we are parted? And it was explained to her. But it was also explained to her that she could visit him, that nothing could keep her from him if she had the desire to visit him. So that made her somewhat happier. Now we will leave them for several months, leave them to their own devices. We do not rush people into change. We give them the opportunity to develop or stay as they are, to find their own way around for a time. Eventually they were approached again, and it was seen that the lady was striving already because she had been told, though she did not actually do anything, but she was striving to understand everything that her relatives had told her. The conditions that they had met when they arrived. Some told her that they had not moved in any special direction for a long time, but that some inner prompting had made them realize they could not stay in a single condition forever. Single conditions are lived out by many people in the spirit world, spirit lands, spirit spheres, in all different vibrations. If you want to take a walk with me in a place that is dark grey, you would find people dressed as they were hundreds of years ago. Even further back than that, 500 years ago. These people do not wish to change. They are content with their conditions. They have been approached. We do not leave anyone in these conditions. We do not care to leave them to their own devices. We come to them. We walk amongst them. They do not see us, but we are often close. Not myself. I'm talking about those who work amongst such people. They walk amongst them and seek out those who search for change. As soon as one does, there is help. No one is left to their own devices, no more than you are. If a person remains there for hundreds and hundreds of years, it is because he or she does not want to change, but they are content with their condition. You cannot imagine this, but you do know people on earth who are so stubborn when they believe in a certain way in some aspects of life. You know they will not change. They do not wish to. No matter what they see or what they hear, they say nonsense. They do not strive. Some try to expand their knowledge a little, but the difficulty that is upon them is too strong. It is a very difficult situation. In these conditions, at times we have to create a kind of scene. Now, you understand that we can see and use your minds to project any scene that we can build within our mind. Our mentality is so acute in the heavens, and we know how to project our thoughts and create any scene. So those who go to help these people, several will gather and they will project a scene around these people. One or several or a group, depending on whatever is necessary at the time. They will build a scene. This will be to heighten their interest, to give them scenes of their childhood or that of their later life, to give them scenes that they had forgotten, perhaps some scene that had some feeling, some emotional impact, let us say. As we are able to read all people, we can read these people also in the heavens, so we know what is exactly right for this situation. And we will show them something that we hope will spark some feeling, that will touch some emotion within, that will make them change, to help them. So we build and build till they are surrounded by scenes of their past experience in great clarity. They are startled, very startled. They say, "What is this? How can it be?" But it can be, and there it is. Some weep, some begin to cry very hard, their bodies wrecked with emotion. Some remain strong and cold. It depends how far the soul is ready. Some do not know that their souls have been slightly seeking. When they see this, of course, it does break through. Sometimes we do garner one or two souls this way. Sometimes we have to keep on trying. But this is an excellent method. It has a great impact. It breaks the emotions. You know yourself that some scenes in your life can bring you back to times when you were little, when you were happy or sad, and when you were filled with whatever emotion, it has the same effect. We also try to show them children or grandmothers or animals, a building or a scene, whatever was their condition. We find that grandmothers have a great impact upon most people. I am sure most of you loved one or both of your grandmothers. We find this, so grandmothers have a way of popping up. Very good. So, we use every manner of means to help our brethren. You may wonder how those of us who work in these areas can bear to be amongst them. But of course we can, because we lower the vibrations, and it is love that makes us enter such conditions. Love for you. Another condition that we do attempt is where one and we make them very, very sleepy. Then we simply put the scenes into their mind. It is something like hypnosis. Takes you back in time. We do it in a different way, but we can do it simply. We take them back to some scenes. It pertains to the same action, but simpler. It does not have to be such growth of material. This works also. Sometimes when we see people are changing but cannot because they are so afraid, we, as it were, winkle them out a little, try to bring them out until they are alone. Then we begin the same action. Many of you in your attempts to help others are sometimes hindered by the mind of the others interacting with yours. If you could build scenes as we can, it would help you enormously. But sometimes you're very, very close to someone and you know their past days. If you go back into some scenes, it does have the same effect. To loosen a dam, it seems, to break down the barriers that have been built by the years, the barriers built by life. Many times we have covered vast areas in these realms without coming upon one soul who wished to change. Sometimes we have returned feeling so low in spirit, feeling we have not been such value to God or to them. In these times we usually return to a higher plane and stay a few days and garner our strength, then return again. If you could see this as a sequence, it is something like a dragnet. We go through these vast areas searching and seeking for souls to help. If we are above, and we see a tiny flicker before us, very, very tiny flicker. Once we see that, we know there is someone who has had a thought. We see where the flicker was, and we speed to that person. It's so difficult. You can see that it is a very difficult life we lead. Picture yourself in a land of this kind. I am sure you would not like to be there, but there are beings who prefer it to be others. And, like the friends they are with, it is difficult to understand their thinking, just as it is difficult for you to understand the thinking of some people upon this earth. Sometimes you're so bewildered you can't understand and that why they are so stubborn. But this gives you the idea that as people are upon the earth, so they are when they enter ours. Nothing changes. So many people on their deathbed do repent, but of course it doesn't help. It cannot pass and cleanse away. It cannot take a person from all the feelings of their lives. Deathbed scenes are seldom, if anything, but emotional. We do not care for people who are given the hope that all is well when they confess. It is too hard upon the soul, the spirit, the person. Can you imagine the person who has been told when they were dying that all is well? When they have confessed and when they leave their spirit body has passed into the spirit world, they find that this is just not so. Imagine the shock and dilemma, the fear. Fortunately, not all people go to grayness. Most people on your earth go to a place similar to the earth, when there's a dull sunny day or a bright sunny day, or becoming brighter and brighter according to the spirit within. But I do have to show you these conditions to equalize, as it were. Not every soul is aware that they are responsible. I was very bewildered last week. We had a friend, and some spirit visitors came to see this friend. This friend had some knowledge of these things on earth, but do you know they did not understand that they were individually responsible for their actions on earth? When I was asked to talk to them at their own request and began to read to see them what it was that they needed, I absolutely was shaken to find that they did not know this, not in every aspect, I mean. They had not been long in the spirit world and had seen their lives unrolled, but though they knew they were responsible for themselves, they did not know that every individual thought was important. This was a shattering discovery. They were very nice people. I was not condemning them, for they themselves would very soon begin to help others, as it was their desire to do so. So I thought it was better that I began at the beginning. For where is the beginning? As all people find, the beginning is thinking. We have crossed upon envy, greed, avarice, jealousy, criticism. We have touched upon every emotion in our past days together. So you now know that it is important that you realize that you think constantly. The brain is in such turmoil sometimes that they are not aware what is happening. They are aware that they are there and their mind is a puzzle. But they do not discern that the fact is that what is important to them in action. Every time your mind wanders off, where does it go? Think about it. Where does your mind go in a dreamy state, when you are doing something that is very calming or mediocre? Sometimes you find dull, and your mind wanders off. Think, where does it go? Your thoughts are wandering. As I have told you previously, your mind is a very powerful instrument, so powerful that you are full of power. The brain and the mind are separate. The mind is roving and roving. Its pathway is where? Into the unknown. Your thoughts link up with other thoughts of a similar nature. They come back to you when they are multiplied. They are tinged with colour. They have met with other thoughts. Your thinking is changed. How did that thought come into your mind? From where? Where did it come? Your mind roves off into another direction, returns to you, and you have another thought. My soul, how am I thinking about this? How is that I'm thinking about the far-off place? The mind wanders around, gathers and gathers. You wonder why you're thinking the way you are. No one's thoughts meander off and return unsullied, nor do they remain untouched in any way. Sometimes they go off into a nice field of thought. That is good. That is, if your thoughts take on a nicer feeling, searching. So every time your thoughts meander, try to direct them. A wandering mind is not useful to you. You should try to hold it under some control, or it will run away with you. When you are wandering around, say to yourself, what do I wish to think? Do I wish to think thoughts of a spiritual nature or thoughtful nature? Thoughts of pain, of sorrow? Where are you going? It is something I want you to think about. You see, until you come to our realm, you will not understand the full power of your mind. When I say to you we can build a scene and hold it, could you do this? You know how difficult it is to even hold a flower, or whatever you are trying to see, holding it steady. You know this in meditation if you try to hold a flower before you or any scene. Try to hold a whole scene and people it, houses, conditions, scenes, and hold it for a length of time. You could not do it, you think, but you could with training. If you can hold a flower before you for any length of time, you can hold another flower, and another, and so on, until you have a bunch of them, and you are holding them all. Add a ribbon to hold them. Then you add a hand grasping, an arm, an upper arm, shoulders, and head. You see you're progressing. If you can do this, you're already training your mind. It is difficult, but I'm sure there are those amongst you who will succeed in bringing this condition about. You can try it and see. It needs strength of purpose, of course. It needs calmness and an ability not to let the mind travel off. If you can sit in meditation for any length of time, you could very well begin. We in the spirit world, when we see our minds deliver our thoughts, when we arrive, get the biggest shock of our lives. It is then that we realize what has been happening on the earth. This is what is happening here, and you do not see it. You can't see your breath except on a very cold day. On a cold day, when you see your breath escaping, it goes far out from your body. It surprises you when you breathe how far your body goes. Well, envisage your thoughts doing the same thing, flying from you. The whole world of mankind and you're all thinking, and your thoughts are flying around like darts, even in this room. Can you not imagine it? I'm sure you can. Darts, thoughts flying around at a great rate. When you're in a place like this, or come to our medium for healing, and you find the peace, then your mind is inclined to still, and you find peacefulness. But when you're up and about, and your mind is taken up by what you see, this is all right when you see the comment about, and you see it again and again. This is all right, but it is in the idle moments. It is all right if the mind is working on detailed path, or if you are working or studying. Then the mind is concentrating, and your thoughts can help another person who may need your ideas. You see ideas fly around also. Concentration upon any pattern, device, or action in whatever field you endeavour is good. It helps the mind to concentrate, to keep from wandering. It is in your wandering mind that is your difficulty. When you lie down for a rest at times, when you are weary and the mind gets slower and slower, and you sleep, or you do not if you are too tired and the mind keeps going. In these conditions, either you are dulled or forgetful and a little dreamy, and the mind can take you into many avenues of hallucination. You know those. You do not realize you have been sleeping a little and you have dreamed. You wonder where the mind has taken you, and you wonder where those thoughts come from. They come from your own mind and the thoughts of others. Those are the thoughts that are floating around and about you. When you cannot sleep, simply resting, and your mind explores many avenues, and you sometimes think, why can't I still my brain? Sometimes when one is too weary, it is difficult. But you know that you can't control, you can't still the mind, for it is still taking itself off in all directions and you're helpless. But here is another avenue where you can strive to help yourself. When you find the mind will not obey you, a good idea is to breathe deeply, steadily, deeply until you are able to envisage your breathing, and you breathe and you are aware of your breathing and you forget your brain and soon you will be asleep. Deep breathing is an aid to slumber. It is an aid to still the mind at any time. So many people do not breathe fully. They breathe in a shallow manner. When you put your mind upon your breathing and you realize that you can breathe in a deep, deep way, then you become slumberous. I do not wish to put you asleep now, but it is a manner in which you can aid yourself. Try it. If people could still their minds, the world would become a more serene place. All these wandering thoughts wouldn't be so evident, and you would live in a more harmonious atmosphere. When we see your world as we are approaching, there is a great mist before us. You know we say, going through the mists. Well, the mist is always before us, before we reach you. As I have said, you live in a misty world, But to you there is sunlight, but you do not know, but there's only to us, it's only to us. You have the sun penetrates, you see the blue sky, but because we live in the spirit world, which you do not yet understand, around you is fog, and so we call it going through the mists. But you fortunately are unaware. When we enter, we see before us a sea of lights, similar to stars. These are your soul or spirit lights. We see some larger than others. We also see shapes with lights coming them in dimmer way. These are the trees and stones, everything that is substance, giving forth its own essence. And of course we see the light of whoever we are going to visit. And we say to ourselves, we are going to so-and-so. And we see the face before us, and we go directly to that person. No mistake, we do not have to go and wander through these lights that we see, looking at stars, some small, some large, some gleaming, some dull, some actually very, very dim. Some seem not to be there, just existing in shape, or some duller shape. There are those who are not good, who live amongst you. We also see colours. We see the colour of your auras. So, although it is misty, we see pink, a great deal of pink. Sometimes we see red and deep red, but the mist is coloured pink. And these are the auras of the people. Now you see how it is for us, and how it will be for you. So you're entering a sea of pink lights, until you come to the being you're seeking, and then as you come up close, you see them. You see them in form. If they are psychic, they will see you too, but if not, they will be unaware of your presence unless you make strong effort of love to project your own feelings, so that the person will feel it, or to project your thoughts into the mind, which is very, very difficult for us, because even though you may pick them up, you may not be aware that it isn't your own mind wandering. See? This is why many of you think your guardians are seldom near you. You do not hear them. But they do try very hard to impress your mind. Sometimes you do get it strongly, get a strong feeling that there is someone present. But you do not know how frustrating it is for us when we love you and that you have not realized that we are present. Many times we find the people we came to a family group, and we join in and we listen and enjoy it as a family gathering, one that we have been part of. This is always nice for us. If you can see us as a person who has gone to sleep and awakened in our land, still that same person with his or her ideas, all the same feelings and emotions, that being very being walks through a veil. Whenever you read of a person going through a tunnel, as it were, it is not actually a tunnel. It is this world which you are travelling until you see the light of the spirit realms. But it's not a tunnel. It is the direct path. You go through it very swiftly until you come to our realm, and onward until you reach the one you have earned. Passing is such a simple matter, and such a simple manner that people do not understand it. So please do not be afraid of the unknown. It is around you all the time, and you do not see it. Your guide loves you and surrounds you with love. And when you are down, always love comes in great floods towards you. Your guardian always knows your feelings and thoughts. They see that you what you have been thinking and doing, and they act upon it to do the best of their ability. If you knew the devotion directed towards you, you'd be amazed. So be unafraid. Know it is something like being born. You enter this world and you believe you are unprepared, but you are not. You have your past lives, the imprint of those past lives upon your soul or spirit. You have the guardians to help you. You have all the condition that you have gone through in other lives. You are prepared, only you have forgotten. It is better so. You would not really be able to comprehend your life if you were constantly looking backward. It would not aid you because you would be filled with fear. We do not want you to be afraid. We want you to have a fresh beginning. When the soul comes to earth and it enters upon something that is familiar, you say to yourself, "Oh, I seem to have been here before," or "I seem to have known that person before." You touch a memory cord. The soul knows it, but dimly. Pardon me, these things do happen, and sometimes you do meet other people, and sometimes you've been in that place previously. For we do have to return, and return. So do all. You can make this life the last one upon this earth, so that you will be able to use your mind in the heavens to help others. We will return now to those we left at the beginning, to see how they have dealt with their conditions. First, we will deal with the man. Those of his friends who helped him and stayed with him for a time did so from love. It is love that helps. There's love that dwells within man that helps him to help others. So they stayed with him for a time until he could become acquainted and felt that he could stay in that place. In the meantime, he had become aware of other beings around, and he had talked with them, so he did not feel so alone. And when his relatives saw that he could stay, and there was not so much to be afraid of, they went on their own realm, promising to return now and then. When he became acquainted more and more with others, he realized that they thought much as he did. Then he began to understand, because he had a very keen mind, that his actions had hindered him. He knew that his wife was ahead of him, that her actions of love to help others had aided her. His had hindered him, because he had not always acted with love. He saw, too, that when he had looked at scenes before him upon entering, good scenes of his life gave him happiness, and it was only those which had brought him to where he was that had given him sadness. So he realized that if he had been a better man, he would have been with his wife. So these thoughts began to percolate in his mind more and more. As he began to think upon these thoughts, think upon his life and see where he could have changed it, see where he could have been kinder, see where he could have led a different life and into different avenues, he saw that there were many occasions where, if he had thought about it, had stopped to think and used his reasoning instead of his instinct, he would have made a better judgment. Now these are avenues where many fall. The instincts. When you use your instincts, they do not always serve you well. Sometimes they do, but you should be very wary of instincts. You should always use reason too. Instinct and reason are better partners. So when we saw that if we had used reason with some of his instinctive feelings, he perhaps would not have hurt himself. So on and on he went, and his pathway became a little different, he noticed, and he was meeting different people. As he became sorrowful, he saw that his pathway was becoming brighter, very, very slightly, but certainly different. He saw that those around him were slightly different also. He was travelling through his own sphere slowly. So, as he became more and more aware, as his keen mind took him into many aspects of his past life, he realised that with his keen intellect and the opportunities he could have had when he led a wonderful life, a man of his position could have done a great deal of good. As all these aspects unrolled before him, he became very sorrowful, and he resolved if he could get another chance he would do differently. Everyone says this. We would do it differently if we had another chance, another opportunity. So we find him slowly but surely travelling onward, and the same thing was happening to his wife. You know innately they were not bad people. No one is really wicked, very, very bad. Circumstances of life often lead people into the wrong avenues, because you see, we do not send people to the world who are truly wicked. People grow into wickedness. We do not send people from wicked places back to earth. We wish them to be good in parts of their life at least. So you see, when a person becomes vile, as it were, he or she takes that path upon themselves. They are inclined to do it. People in the spirit world know that he has grown out of his past mistakes and could return to take it up the likes again. But he had not truly learnt all his lessons, and he or she is weakening again. Every time you take up the challenge of life, you are getting another opportunity. And it is a good thing to be careful of yourself and see that you do not wander from your pathway. So we find our two people struggling along their pathway in the spirit world. We wonder, will they meet again and be together? Who will be the swifter? Well, I'm sure it will not surprise you to know that the man travels along finally at a quicker pace, and he does meet again with his partner. There's a great rejoicing because, of course, she has been visiting him, and they are very fond of each other. They talked and talked. They discovered very many things that they had not discussed upon the earth. They saw that if they had been able to get together more when they were on the earth and to discuss their lives together, they could have escaped making mistakes. But, as never before, they came closer together, exploring, discussing, delving. This partnership brought out aspects of themselves in such a swift way. Being separated, they progressed, of course, but being together, it was much more swiftly done, because they could discuss together. How often do you feel when you have a problem, and you discuss it with a loved one, how you see more clearly? Is this not so? It was the same for them. So the unravelling, the putting together, till they saw that indeed they could have had a very life, a very happy time together. Circumstances being different, now they can, and they resolve to go forward together and try their very best together, to share their experiences so that they can be together for a long time, at their choice. They go to their teacher. In our realm, people like myself, we aid and direct. In each area, there's an overlord, as you know. The overlord lives in a citadel, and he has his lieutenants, sergeants, corporals, for ease of recognition to you, though this is not so named where they are. They're only labels. Workers in different stages of development, if you like, working at different levels, each directing, controlling or mingling, everyone doing their own thing, as it were, in their own way. So one of the teachers who has been told by the overlord, or one of his lieutenants, has been told that these people need direction. So they are approached, and they are told that they've been looked upon at different times. It is explained about the overlord. He is a servant of God, and how each area has such an overlord. He is the higher being who has been given the duty of serving God on a lower realm, has the duty of watching over the father subjects, the children of the father loves. These overlords work with such love. They do not feel as if they are an overlord. They feel like a brother to each. But because of their growth of spirit, that is the reason for their name of overlord. It is simply a label to show that he has authority. In himself he does not feel he has authority. But even in our realms we do not need to have authority in some sense to control events or to arrange. If there is a musical event happening, the overlord will say, arrange it at such and such a place, and will say who will be there and what it will be, and all things pertaining to that action. So it will pass down and then mingle amongst the people. When the day comes, all will go, because they will know within their minds the direction will come this way. If there are meetings and higher beings want to come to direct the people, something as I am doing now, similar things will happen. So you see, certain direction and authority will be needed, or there would be chaos. We are very aware of all problems. You know I have told you about the lower places where people act as they do on Earth, and where there is disharmony, and where people will fight together as they do on Earth. Because of religion and politics, just the same as they do here. You hear people arguing. We do not mind if they argue, if it doesn't become too heated. If it becomes heated, sometimes we have to separate them. Well, that is done in a very gentle way. There are others who walk amongst people in those areas, and they are watchful, and they know when these things happen. The area has an overlord too, and everything is watched over. You are not spied upon. It is simply that there is a mingling and a caring with love. We leave people alone, but whenever disharmony arises, it is seen at once, because from the citadel the light change will be seen. It is like a patch of ugly red that will appear amongst the pink, just the same as it is upon your life here. Then those who can help will come and say, brethren, you must not, in a gentle manner. But if they will not stop and it becomes too heated, we separate them by simply putting power upon their minds and making them sleepy, and they fall to the ground very quickly and painlessly. It is kind, it does not hurt. It is simply putting them to sleep. Or we put them in a net as such and take them away. We have to do these things because a lower emotion of a lower vibration. Because people, as they progress, they cease these wranglings and become more serene. These kinds of actions are not then necessary. So you see those two people we met at the beginning. You see them being met by a member of the group that serves the overlord, and he or she will be taught. It is known that when every soul is able to do so, how their thoughts are, how they wish to act, and how their gifts are, what their inclinations are. So they will be shown what condition will suit them best. Their teacher will say, come with me. He or she will guide them to a condition that needs help. He or she will stand off a little, and they will say, do you see those people? They are newly arrived, just as you were, and they need help. They come from a similar condition as yours, and you could be very useful. Now come closer and listen. They come closer and listen to what is happening. This is to the aid that is directing the other people. He says, do you think you could do this? They reply, no, we couldn't. Well, you could, but you think you couldn't, so let me take you by the hand. He takes them up close to these people and they join. They stand and listen. Then, to their surprise, they hear themselves talking. They're thinking and their thoughts come out as words, and to their surprise they're helping, because their own experience was very useful here. Before long they were talking away, and the man and woman who brought them was smiling. There. Oh no, you see, that was not true. It was fear. You know yourselves when you have to do something new how you are filled with fear, and you are afraid to go to a new condition of labour, or you fear another person. It is the same with us in the beginning, but they find that they can do it. Slowly, slowly they are brought to help similar conditions as their own. Those who are linked, who are killed quickly by several means. It doesn't always have to be the same means, but in an accident, very quickly. Mostly people are asked to work in conditions that they can deal with. You know yourself when you've been brought through a certain situation, then you're more able to help another who's going through that similar trial. And how do you know? Because you yourself have endured. It is a simple thing. There's no need for fear in our realms in any respect. For everything is real. Everything is true. Everything is taught to you. You are not expected to go into any situation without aid. You also have many opportunities to meet friends on the social scale. Those who are similar to yourself. Those you gravitate to as you do on earth. You gravitate to those on earth who have a similar feeling. And so you do in the heavens. Before long, you find yourself having a happy life, and less you return near the earth, because the earth does not hold you as it did, and less until the day comes when your family are here in the heavens. Then children and grandchildren, till all those you have known are here, with one big family. But do you have a happy family? Not always, because you know yourself that not all members of your family are the same. Not all are on the same level, and not all are happy. If there has been love amongst them, and great emotion amongst some, they will gravitate together. But those who have been absent from the mind from yourself, and the mind of those on earth, you will not gravitate towards each other. Only love and fondness can bring you together. So not always the big happy family. Sometimes part of that big happy family, as you thought it, was on earth. Sometimes people fool themselves into thinking they are a big happy family. They wish it to be. They want it to be. But it is not always so. Every single individual is at a different level of spirituality. You cannot all be the same, but you can influence one another. This is the idea. When you have children, you have an individual soul lent to you for a time. A soul to guide, a soul to help in whatever way you see life. Every parent does not see the same way. So every child is brought to different leanings in life. To a sister, brother, aunt, uncle, all have been brought up differently. Mothers and fathers, grandparents, all having been brought up differently from yourself. All individuals. Then again, you have brothers and sisters brought up in the same family. Same food, same teaching, same knocks, same loving, same life. But do you have three or four similarities? You know you do not. Even if they have been under the same roof, you have different individuals. So it is the same with you. I may give you what I know, but individually you will see it as you wish. Individually, you will make your own interpretation, make your own individual effort. Each of you is a different being who sees life differently. But each of you is a part of a family. And each of you will be a part of a family in the heavens. Perhaps not all your own, but others who have gravitated to because of harmonious feelings. You may find that there are those in the heavens who love you very deeply indeed, but they are not family. On your own plane, you will love all there, but there will be those you will gravitate to and love more deeply than others, just as you do on earth. This is the law of attraction. Every family has someone at some time or other that you have felt an attraction to. A deeper feeling towards others, and you say you feel very close to so-and-so. That is how you feel in the heavens. So you see, everything is very normal in the aspects of living with the exception of the mind. You know now that you are a person with a very potent weapon at your disposal. You will see that you can do many things. You will see also that you have the responsibility of this responsibility. If you knew how some people put their minds to work upon this earth, you would be surprised. those who understand its power, and there are some who do not put it to good use. So why not, if you understand this power, put yours to good use and counteract evil thoughts? I have told you before that you can influence your world to a great extent. You cannot see, but I assure you, you do. That is why I am telling you, in our world you will see it. You will see how your mind works. You will see how you could have aided upon the earth. You will also see how you can hurt yourself or help where you are. If you are a person who is in a place near the earth, you may play mischievous pranks upon one another and make a good bit of fun. This is all right. I mean, people have to do something, and it may as well be this as anything else. As long as they do not make someone unhappy or hurt someone. Sometimes they do. But as I said, this is your responsibility, your dilemma, or it is your happiness. Do not think that as soon as you are in the spirit world, you are a part of everything, that you are a part of all knowledge. No, indeed. You have to travel a step at a time, little, little, and everything will be revealed to you as you earn it, as you understand it. As you grow in understanding, then you will begin to delve into the mysteries that are unveiled. Not all can comprehend the mysteries of the heavens, as all minds are not made to unravel mysteries. But those who have not that type of mind are aided. The explanations are made. We do not expect everyone to comprehend all mysteries, just as you, in heaven here, cannot comprehend everything put before you. When you attain brilliance and get great vibration of power, you will look down at others and say, "I was once there," and your soul will be full of compassion. Those of us who are along the path somewhat are always filled with love for our brothers and sisters. We do not look upon you and say, "Lower." We look and say, "Brother, sister." We know that everything has a beginning. We are happy to see you in the light. It is when you are in the greyness, or deeper greyness, darkness, that we feel for you. But we do it all in our power to aid you, no matter where you are. You people on earth should never fear, because you get this tremendous aid. Many people fear that they are alone, that the Father has abandoned them. We know that the path of life is a very difficult for some, that they will think it will never end, and our soul aches for them, and we wish we could do all we could. Sometimes a soul has to endure a difficult path, because that is what is needed. When you have difficulty, do not be afraid. Try to understand that it is the need of the soul, and that you have agreed before you entered. No soul is expected to go through with a duty if they refuse, and they are afraid. We lessen the burden if we see that a person cannot take it upon themselves. We break up, and we separate and divide into several lives to make the burden easier, that the person cannot face too much difficulty. But remember, those of you who have taken such a heavy burden, remember that you have agreed, thinking that you could carry it. So knowing this, strive to be strong. Straighten the shoulders, lift the chin and face, or whatever difficulty assails you, knowing that you have the strength to deal with it. We do not allow you to come if you cannot. Remember, we are aware of you, that we are aware of your strength, and we are very careful of you. So know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are worthy of endurance, that you have the strength within yourself. Upgrade your thoughts. Lift yourself up and know that you are strong, that you can deal with whatever comes into you in life, that you are God in miniature, that your soul light is sparked with the divine light, that you have God within you. When you have this knowledge, how can you be afraid? Your burdens are your choice, because no one disagrees, is absolutely sure that they can do it. So do not hold your head down low. Lift it up, knowing that you can do it. When you see your results afterwards and you see what you have endeavoured, you'll be very happy that you have been strong, that you have known that you could do it, and that you have endeavoured. So you will be able to be compensated for your endeavour. To hold your head down and weep until being bitter holds you back, but to lift up one's head and be strong carries you forward and further into a greater light. So, as the light enfolds you now, the light of the Father that is engulfing you all, because around you is much love and understanding, much love and comprehension, much love always from your guardians and us who have come to serve you, and we will not abandon you. Never, ever will we abandon you. We will always be by your side, always, because love is our reason. So, as love is our reason, let love be your reason for existence. Let love always flow through you if possible. Do your utmost to be a loving, understanding, pure vehicle. So in strength go forward, in strength with the Father, in strength uplift and grow. Until we meet again, we will be with you, and love will be yours forever and ever. My love is always near you. You may not think so, but when I speak to you, my words enter you, and then I am near you. I am part of you. I will always. Good day.